Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in Radio DMG may or may not be the views and opinions of the DMGI's family of sites. All music used in this podcast is the property of whoever made it, and no copyright infringement is intended. God bless this albatross, and hold on tight for the awesome you're about to receive.
It's good to be the king.
Welcome to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, and I'm here with...
Sarah Tomasi.
Woo! And we're going to go ahead and do something a little different with this episode. Normally, I have newsity, and there isn't really that much of it, and I have a cold. I have a cold and...
Con cold.
Con cold, yeah. Con ick. Like,
Conic.
You get that, yeah, you get that, not like Harry Connick Jr.
Bionic,
like,
Connick.
Bionic Connick?
I don't know.
Con-ick.
Kind of a post-con...
Ick syndrome.
He's kind of like in a haze, it's kind of weird.
And you're also like, you've been drinking.
Just tonight.
Just tonight, yeah.
Not like all day or anything.
No, not like all day, no. So, this is an odd episode of Radio DMG. So we're not doing newsity, but we are going to have a feature. We're going to, put up the interview we did with Kyle LeBaire.
Kyle, a bear is behind you.
Is it? A bear. There's a bear.
He's the voice actor for the announcer of Dragon Ball Z.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z. Something like that.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, because normally I'm really sick of it.
I know. It's because I've got a cold, and when I have a cold, I can do things with my voice that I cannot do normally. Oddly enough, I can add reverb. What? I just like making little lines on the Audacity thing go. Yeah. Anyways, we're here. We're going to talk a bit about our experiences in...
Well, kind of post-con.
Yeah.
Driving back home from Dallas to Colorado was somewhat of an adventure, because we added about 5 hours to our trip.
Yeah, five, 6 hours. God, it was awful.
Mainly, brush fires in New Mexico. Yay.
Well, brush fires in New Mexico, meaning that, like, down there, I guess... I mean, there was... Later on, I ran into some...
You have me to thank, because you wanted to go through Kansas.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just go through Oklahoma and Kansas. I know it's boring as all hell. It's Kansas, you're boring. Oklahoma, you're kind of boring, too.
So this time we went through Texas.
And then we thought, we'll just go up through New Mexico.
Up through Amarillo, and then we'd cut through New Mexico for an hour, and then be in Colorado, and then Pueblo and Colorado Springs, but no.
No, there's brush fires. And
it's like 2 in the morning. Yeah. No, 1 in the morning. We have to go out of our way. And it took us until 5 o'clock to get back on the road. Back
to 25, like almost 5 or 6. The sun was rising. But
that was a weird day.
That was a weird day. We ended up, it was kind of horrible because I'm driving there. And, you know, when you're driving and you're kind of a little sleepy, it's like, oof. And the worst part is these are windy mountain roads.
I was driving.
You drove through part of that too, though.
I drove through all the windy mountains.
No, you didn't. I drove through some of the windy mountain roads. We both did.
5 minutes.
No, not 5 minutes. We both drove the windy mountain roads.
I was driving from like 1:30 to 4.
No. It was because
when we got to the first cop, I switched and started driving.
Yeah, it was the second cop. Remember?
Oh,
cause
it was the second cop.
Then we went around. Because, like, the first thing, you were asleep. You slept. Yeah. He told us we had to go around through, like, all that little windy place. Because, like, I already went through all that windy stuff before. There was some windy stuff. And then we windy get to this stuff? Part, and then we get to, yeah, more windy stuff.
This is windy stuff, but it means mountains and
mountain roads that like snake through things, and it's
no like, shoulders, and no metal guardrails, but an abyss down below that you can't see because it's 2 a.m. And
yeah, well, you can see some stuff like peeking out of the abyss, mostly deer and other stupid little animals. Like, they're all over the place. You saw them, too. Like, they just sit there on the side of the road, waiting. Do I jump in now? Do I jump? Do I wait? Or do I jump in now? I'm like, I'm just walking through these, like, I hate every single one of you. All of you, deer.
Bunny. I remember that.
The bunnies? Well, bunnies. Yeah, I had one of those run in front of me the other day. No, today I was driving around, and there was, like, little prairie dogs
get
all
to
way.
The
way. Anyway, we get to the point. What? Nah. Ramble.
That's what she said.
Hey, that is what she said. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we had a bit of a run-in so much.
How can you have a run-in when you don't meet anyone?
I don't know. Anyways, okay, let's look at the, let's see. You pulled over on the side of the road because you wanted me to drive, and
and I had to pee really bad.
Yeah, and so did I.
Because I've been holding it for 2 hours.
Yeah, we've been...
There was no shoulder, and I finally found a spot to stop at so we could switch drivers.
Yeah.
I was almost at the point of peeing in a ditch. Something I've never done even after living for 25 years, but...
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid it.
I think, like, oh, man, when we were driving down to Akon, I think I, like, that weird gas station, which was
Yeah,
I peed on the back of that store.
Arkansas.
Yeah, I peed on Arkansas.
No, wait, it was...
Was it in Arkansas, or is it like...
Okay, a mile down the road, we entered Arkansas.
Okay, it was like right outside Arkansas. So, yeah, just a mile outside. But anyways, we were on our way there. I took over, and we're still going down windy things. And I see a sign that says, La Veda.
It said, gas... Food and lodging 5 miles this way.
And I was like, okay, I guess I can slow down and take this horrifying little windy snake trail thing out into the middle of nowhere. But when we get into there, nothing is open. There's gas stations, but the lights are all off. There's storage fronts and stuff with lights, you know, the security lights on, but nobody in there. No other cars, nothing.
There's three hotels, an inn, a bed and breakfast.
Yeah, we went to La Veda. It's anyways, after driving around a bit.
I almost wanted you to stop and like just bang on someone's house door and ask you some bathroom.
It's like I don't know.
Or go in there bushes considered, or something.
I don't know. La Veda is like it was like walking, like driving through an abandoned town. Then we figured, okay, maybe there's, it says this thing, La Veda Inn. And there was a big area there with like a front desk and a whole bunch of tables or something. I think that was like a restaurant. All the lights were on there, so I thought maybe there's somebody in there. So we stop outside there. I'm like, I'll go check it out real quick. So I go in there and I realize that the door to, I guess, where you would check in or where that restaurant is. That's locked, but the main door is open. So I walk in there, and there's all these lights on. And I walk upstairs, and there's all these lights on, and all the doors are open. And there's
mirrors at the end of each hallway.
Yeah, the mirrors at the end of each hallway.
It's really kind of creepy.
Yeah, there's also, like, all the little hotel rooms were open, but the lights were out. So I walked down both of the little hallways
to see if there's anybody in there. Yeah, really small rooms with a little small toilet and sink.
And really tacky looking, like something out of the 70s or The Shining. But no, I went over there and checked to see if anybody was in there. I actually asked, I said, is anybody here? A couple times, nothing whatsoever. So then I went over, like there are no... actual locked doors. It was just like all the hotel room doors are open.
With the
lights out. Yeah, just like there's literally like about a dozen or so rooms. Just the door open. Beds are all made. Everything looks picture perfect. Like they're expecting guests, but there's nobody there. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? There's, I tested the water to see if it works. Like, I tested one of the sinks. Because, like, I went into one of them, turned on the light there, turned on the bathroom light, checked to make sure stuff worked. I'm like, okay, you know what? There doesn't seem to be anybody here. I really have to go. Sarah really has to go. I'll just go down to the car. What were you doing in the car while I was checking this out?
Waking up.
Waking up?
No, I was trying to hold it.
Oh.
Because remember, we had just switched. Because yeah. I was driving for like 2.5 hours, holding it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then I finally found a spot to pull over on the side of the road so that you could drive and I could just not
concentrate. Keep my pants.
And 5 minutes after you started driving, we found that sign. Of course.
Yeah.
So you came downstairs and you asked me if I felt like breaking and entering and using a toilet. And it was that or pee in someone's bush or on the side of the road.
So we just went up there. I turned on the light for one of the hotel rooms and that. And I watched for God knows what would show up.
Children of the Corn.
Yeah, or something.
They'll think, zombies.
Play with us! Play with us!
Ghosts?
I don't know. And The Shining.
I never saw The Shining.
No? Maybe something like out of Poltergeist, like the twins or something. Like, or is that The Shining? I don't remember.
That's creepy.
Or like in Silent Hill. Wait, what? Yeah, I was sitting there watching for Pyramid Head. Anyways,
want people to bust us.
Or yeah, that too. Anyways, after you used the restroom, I went ahead and used it, and then like we hightailed it out of there. Yeah, we washed our hands, and then we hightailed it out of there. We got back into the car. And as I'm getting out there, because, like, it was really, really creepy, the sun starts rising.
Picking up, really.
Yeah. Kind of, so it's all, like, reddish and yellowish and pinkish and stuff. And then, like, as we're going along, because you're going out of La Veda, which is apparently some kind of mining town or something. Yeah, we found, it's a like...
ranch.
Majestic Spanish Peaks, located along the scenic Highway of Legends. What legends? Seriously. And they get it wrong.
Home to a diverse population of artists and ranchers.
And mostly white people. Anyways, it says like, it's called La Veda or The Vein, which last I checked, that's not even the right Spanish. Visit. It's got a Adobe trading post or some type of terrifying, I don't know. They've got a La Veda Cucaracha Chamber of Cucaracha? Cuchara? Cuchara? Cuchara, La Veda Cuchara.
What the heck is Cuchara? Apparently they have a golf course.
A golf course. So apparently it's something very, very nice.
Tom Weisskopf.
I don't know what that is.
Designed it, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah. Tom Weisskopf.
For lodging, the historic La Veda Inn in the heart of town is a wonderful place to stay or enjoy dinner.
Or be dinner.
Just down the street from the inn is the Russ Avenue Bakery.
None of this is open.
Offering delicious homemade breads, cinnamon. Well, it was a Sunday.
Yeah.
No, it was a Monday.
No, it was Monday. Like Monday at like 4 a.m. 4
in the morning.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. Anyways, no, as we're getting out of there, apparently, up in the mountains near there, there's like a big LV for La Veda.
Yeah. It was white. It was like kind of like a Hollywood type of big.
Yeah, but.
But like etched into the side of the mountain.
Like white LV.
I think and it like, is white stone.
Yeah, it might be. It just, to me.
You think it's anthrax?
Could be anthrax or the ashes of the bodies. God only knows. But no, it's like, I saw that whole thing where it's like, yeah, this is, it says LV. To me, that was just live. Yeah, I saw part of that.
La Veda Inn. There's all these pictures. Like, that's their main...
Wow, that's... Yeah, that's the... That is their main thing. Yeah. No, the LV was more like... We're looking at some pictures. We looked it up and on, like, this website. We're looking at the old La Veda Pass Station, train station, the new La Veda Town Hall.
It's like log cabins and stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. This is, They have Oktoberfest there.
They're all white. What do you expect?
Yeah, that's weird. Go down a bit. like Lavetta Town Lakes. That's it actually looks kind of nice when it's not creepy as all heck.
And there's actually people that are like, yeah, zombies.
Not zombies. LV Lavetta. Let's see what it says. Map of Lavetta.
If I can looking find at a Lavetta, picture,
we're looking for like a picture of the LV. Because, oh my gosh. Because to me, it's just like, this is not. It's Lavetta, Colorado.
Two words.
Yeah, two words. It's near Kuchara Pass. Apparently, like I said, it's a mountain mining town. Kind of like Silent Hill in that way. Is that like the citizen? I don't know if we'll be able to see that big LV. Who knows? Maybe that was just for us. We broke some horrifying taboo. Well, welcome to Southern Colorado's Kuchara Valley, a delightfully undiscovered destination. Spend a week, day, a week, a summer, eternity.
Yeah, we know you will return
again and again. Amidst nature's great beauty, you will find a refreshing small-town quality of life and unlife, combined with the sophistication of art galleries, theater, dining, a fitness center,
oh, they have a graveyard, gym. They have a gym.
A gym. Musical entertainment. On shopping. Home of Ricky Tim's Art Quilt Studio. Art Quilt Studio. Wow, quilting. Quilting. So grab your mouse and come to blah, blah, blah. Okay. This is like the Lavetta Kuchara Chamber of Commerce. Wow. It's got history, geology, etc., etc. Ghost towns? What's this?
Lodging.
Lodging. Yeah, we went to the Lavetta Inn, which is this one. It's on 103 West.
Ten historic guest rooms designed and decorated by local artists.
And eight Southwest suites
also designed by local artists. More.
Open 7 days a week.
Fine dining, casual dining.
Huh. Open 7 days a week, though, but not when we're there. Oh, it's got a website. Huh. Watch it be
it
a dead
like
link.
It looks like a pretty town.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would revisit it, though. I'm not sure we can. We've probably ticked off the locals.
I'm not going back that
no.
way.
No. Oh, look. Wow. Look at this. Look at the. Go back to this. Go back to. We're looking at, like, the Lavetta Inn here. View availability, rooms and rates.
Yes.
LA's, yeah, these are, these, wow.
Dude, summer room rates from 120 to 140. Suites from 130 to 190. What?
Yeah, I know. That's kind
of
like,
I mean, I book a lot of travel trap. And that's really expensive.
Yeah, that is a tourist. Oh, they're historic rooms. Each of the rooms is different, I guess. By different, I mean creepy and tacky looking. But I don't want to insult any artists who may be like, I am from Lavetta, and then like,
let's figure out which room we peed in.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. No, not the LeClaire Skaggs one. Man, I'm going to have to put some interesting show notes on this. Nope. Historic room 3. No.
I don't remember looking at any art.
No, I don't think we were. We were more concerned about, okay, there's a restroom that is usable. I don't get what these ones are. I wish it would have had like a map so it could tell us, because it was, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Well, the dining room looked nice. I don't know. Overall, it's just
our neighborhood.
Yeah. There's no shortage
of interesting things to do. Are you kidding me?
In Lavetta. They want to be like the...
Only golfers have been there, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It might be a big golf thing. Lavetta in Kurt Russ. Kurt Russ.
You said this is ghost towns?
Ghost towns. Uptop ghost town on Old Lavetta Pass. Off Highway 160 at mile marker 276. Uptop ghost town. They do have a ghost town. I thought that was the ghost town when we went to it. Oh my gosh. Huh. Well, they've got a bunch of things there. Newspapers, radio. Well, we're just looking through Lavetta. If for some bizarre reason you're in Colorado, and you're stuck in the mountains, Leveda probably won't kill you. Probably.
Who's there to kill you?
There's nobody but them.
Well, I guess at 4 o'clock in the morning, they have better things
to do. Yeah. They're already sacrificing other people. Well, now we're looking at the Wikipedia for it. The population was 924 at the 2000 census. 924 re-deads. Like, and then they jump up on top of you and hump your head. You know, like in Ocarina of Time. Yeah.
Or Half-Life 2.
Oh, yeah, like head crabs. It's Ravenholm. Yeah, it's Ravenholm. No. 924 people, 429 households, 251 families residing in the town.
Oh, no one cares.
Yeah. I think we've talked a bit about
it. The mineral vein.
Ooh. Yeah, I think at this point, though, like... Wait. Oh, I think it... Ah, I found out what that is. That LV must be in that white mineral, which they called Leveta Tierra Blanca.
I told you it was a stone.
Yeah, I guess it was. I thought it was like ashes or something. It looked creepy as all hell. Leveta Pomero. No, I'm not. Photos of Leveta and surroundings. Welcome. Ooh. It smoky sunset. Like, this is...
really pretty during the day.
Wow, I'm sure. But during the night...
let's see how ugly this person is.
Ew. Yike. Let's see. We've got town bucks. Deer. I don't know what this is for. Tracks. These are actually kind of, oh, wow. It's a
visit list.
Yeah, people are like, we gotta go visit this. Just not at 4 a.m. in the morning. Tendrils. Ah.
Could be a scaredy cat.
Twilight. Storm and rabbit brush. Jade streak. Storm dissipating. Well, these are actually some really nice pictures.
Yes. So that was the most interesting part of it. How many hours was that drive? We left Dallas at 3 p.m.
And we didn't get
into... we got home at like 9 a.m.
Yeah, 9 a.m. closer to... it was pretty far up.
And we gained an hour, too.
Yeah. So, dang, that was a lot. After the comment... the Milky Way core comet. August comet. Oh, we also saw that really cool lake. Remember we drove past that? Man, I can imagine those roads would be awful during the winter.
I wish they could have driven them during the day, though, because it was really pretty.
During the day, it looks like it was all very, very pretty. But I think we're pretty much done talking about Leveta.
Silent Hill
or Ravenholm or whatnot.
I don't think we'll be going back there.
No. It looks kind of nice if you're a golfer or something, I guess it's probably interesting. I don't know. If you're a golfer or some kind of horrifying corpse. Yeah. Rambling and stuff. But yeah, today for this Radio DMG, we've got just us rambling a little bit.
If we haven't bored you,
yeah, we got an interview. Yeah, wait, you're not paying anything for this. That's what they're not doing.
I know,
they're not paying.
They came for.
Well, they came for. They haven't come for it yet. Not yet. Don't slap me. Okay. There, anyways. Oh,
you're horrible.
No. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and play the feature theme because we're going to play the interview that I did with Kyle LaBear. Kyle LaBear is a voice actor. Check out the little show notes. We have a little bit on it. And we're going to go ahead and queue up that feature. And just hold on. It's going to be good. And thank you for listening to Radio. Well, I'll do a little end thingy after we play the interview.
Can I sing now?
Oh, sure. What are you gonna sing? You go cheepy cheepy dee cheepy dee. No.
We do that again.
Cheepy cheepy dee cheepy dee.
Can you do it more in a chipmunk voice?
Cheepy dee cheepy dee cheepy dee.
Can you put some like background music to that? How do you do this? How do you do like the porno music? Okay, go on.
It'll be like it'll be like
the thing, and I'll do the
back. Now you don't have to listen to Cross Border Gaming. No, I'm kidding. We do little shout outs and stuff for our friends, and yeah, I just listened to their list when you didn't, because like I didn't share it. Sorry,
I was at work.
Yeah, you're at work, and I had it on my PSP Go, which is really the only thing I use that for is like MP3s sometimes, but oh, it's good for games, yeah. Oh. Anyways.
Oh, and also we got a PlayStation 3 recently.
Yeah, I downloaded that new Sonic Generations demo.
And the scary thing is we have how many PlayStation 1
games? Like 49 PlayStation 1 games.
Just most, because yeah. You downloaded them all on the PSP
as they go,
over
yeah,
the
as they go down over the years. And sales. I think it's funny, like, the best stuff I've played on the PlayStation 3 so far has been PlayStation 1 games. Well, Infamous is okay. Infamous is good.
Did you play Infamous yet?
I haven't played Infamous 2 yet. It's still there.
How about the first one?
A little bit of that.
We
like
also
the
picked
demo.
Up Super Stardust HD in the Welcome Back program.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of Geometry Wars.
Just a little bit.
I like it.
I was looking through that. I'm like, there's games on the PS3. It's just that, to be honest, it's kind of hard sometimes to sit down and play console games. Even on, like, the Wii, I still need to finish Fragile Dreams, which...
Creepy? If you,
oh, it's great. The little insane giggling from the Wii remote.
You're creeping me out.
Oh, I'm creeping you out? La Veda! La Veda!
Do you want to do, like, a quick recap of Akon and how great it was?
Oh, yeah, we should do that. Sorry I missed the Hentai Fest, everybody, with just, this is the second year in a row where I wasn't there for the whole thing. I didn't even make it this year. Last year we did, and then we left.
What were we doing this year?
We were taking pictures and stuff.
Industry panel, back-to-back, and then we went to take some pictures. And then realize what time it was. Actually, we went back to the room. And then
we realized we had an hour later
till it started, but we missed the whole intro, which is the best part.
Oh, yeah. If you go to Akon, the Hentai Fest intro, if you are over the age of 18, is the way to go into that. Because that's the best part.
Can I talk about why it's the best part?
Sure.
Are we not allowed to talk about... Well, all the boobs we've seen.
Well, Hentai Fest, what happens at Hentai Fest cannot be videotaped or photographed. But what happens at Hentai Fest can sure as hell be talked about. Which means I can actually run some of the
audio. I was kind of disappointed I didn't get to see any chicks' boobs this year. Last year, how many pairs did I saw?
Oh,
half
I remember.
A dozen pairs at least.
Yeah, I remember one year. Like, the horrible thing is, I got it on video too. Well, part of this, the whole huge lesbian makeout thing that ended up getting interrupted by Nabishan, the guy.
Was this last year?
No. This is a couple years back. I have a video of it somewhere on one of my hard drives. It's the
have topless lesbians making out on your hard drive.
No. There's no nudity in this one. It was, like, part of this thing, I was, like, recording it, because, like, that's kind of silly that they're doing this. And then the guy that directs Excel Saga, Nabishin, I forgot what his actual name is, but something like that.
The
anyways,
Japanese guest was there?
Yeah, he was there, and that's why I can't use it. They have a rule where you have to get all sorts of clearance to videotape Japanese guests. Although this year, I think we could have gotten the clearance for some of the Q&As, but those are only fun if we have a proper... video recording stuff for it. And I was like, anyways, he did a impromptu Q&A, which was awesome and horribly filthy. And I think I can use some of the audio from that, but I can't use the video.
Unfortunately, this year at Akon, we miscalculated start times and didn't hustle our butts over there.
No. This year at Akon, though, I have to admit, okay, they moved the whole press stuff away from the South Tower to the Center Tower. And it was pretty great, except for the fact that it's on the same area as the pool. So you can kind of smell the pool. And that's not so good. The pool smells nasty.
As the weekend progressed, the smell got worse.
Yeah. That being said, I loved having quiet interview rooms to interview people with.
And people to help you set up the interviews. That was
wonderful. I said, I'll give you a call
when I get this guest set up for a certain time.
Yeah, it was, wow, this is, I was just, and they got, I had a translator for Team Ninja. I had stuff out there.
Was
it
the first night? Was it Thursday night? I want this person, this person, this person, this person, this person, this person.
And they got it. They got it all.
And we got Peter Espiegel ourselves.
Yeah, we got Peter Espiegel ourselves. But then we were like, can we use this room for this? And they're like, okay, yes. Akon was really great to the press this year. Sadly, there weren't really any big announcements at Funimation or Viz or anything.
Well, it was a little different. They told us that we couldn't just skip lines this year, which was kind of weird.
Which, we didn't really end up in any lines, did we?
Well, the only line I was really in was the one for Funimation. You had an interview and I went to the panel.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun.
And then when we were like in the interview, the line for that other thing, I think it was like, what, the Viz one or something?
Viz?
Yeah, the one there, and one of the staff members was like, oh, they're trying to do this. I'm like, no, because like normally they just they would make something for the press.
Well, I think it was Anaplex.
Yeah, for a bit there, I was like, oh no, I don't want to make it.
You found me.
Oh, Anaplex is, yes. What is that, like Mima Chibi or something?
Viz. Shiba?
Yeah, Viz, the one with the bean dogs. I've seen those at Hot Topic, and I had no idea what they were, because I don't watch stuff on Crunchyroll. And apparently, wow, those commercials are awesome. I will put a little thing up there, too, so people can see all of them. You found me.
Did you know?
What? What?
A flamingo's egg is also pink. Milk?
Milk. Flamingo's milk.
A flamingo's milk is also pink.
Yeah, a flamingo's milk. I like that one. It goes, did you know 30 million germs are transmitted in one kiss? And the guy's like, well, yeah, we're going to have to supply some type of context. The show notes are going to be fun.
Overall, Akon was good, though. Oh, this year, we didn't have any obnoxious roommates.
They know who they are.
I take full credit because I found them on the internet.
Yeah, next year, like, some of the people that we got.
Definitely, guys are a lot low maintenance than girls.
Oh, no, bad. But this, like, next year, if we need roommates, I think we've got people like one of the people we went with this year totally would do it again. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, and I'm fine
with
that.
You would do him again?
What? No. No.
I gave him Pokemon.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
What did I give him?
Something. Different Pokemon.
I don't know. I haven't played them all.
Yeah, it was like you fill out the Pokedex a bit. But yeah, we had like the lowest maintenance roommates ever. And if they're listening to this, which they probably will at some point, dude, you guys were awesome. Like, the guy from Reddit, though, didn't seem like he was really having a good time. Kind of,
I don't know, maybe he bought the ticket and then broke up with his girlfriend and then didn't want to waste his ticket or something.
Well, yeah. But you know what? You shouldn't let something like that bring you down. Don't let them bring you down. It's only castles burning. And time keeps on learning. It's something to come around. I don't know. It's a song.
Yearning?
I don't know. It's like, don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning.
Oh, my God. Guys, he's turning into Harold. He's H-bomb.
No, those guys are great. Although, like, their new stuff there where they're recording off of, like, that Pamela program or something. They're running music throughout the entirety of it.
It sounds like a porno, right?
Yeah, it does. Just a little bit. Okay.
Does this podcast do that? Or
no.
Plus one?
I don't know. They got it from, like, That Gamer Podcast or something. I've actually never listened to That Gamer Podcast. I don't know if they do that.
Who
do
is
they
That
have,
Gamer?
I don't know.
Does he live in Lavetta?
Probably.
It's creepy.
He wears a pyramid on his head every now and then, and it signifies menstruation. That's what that is in that game. Pyramid head? It isn't like Silent Hill 2.
Are you just getting that because I say I'm having my pyramid?
No. That's In Silent Hill 2, everything that's happening there is kind of, spoilers, people, happening in the mind of the main character. Some of his representations of his opinions on, like, his wife or something. And Pyramid Head is technically kind of like, I read somewhere where it's kind of, some of the stuff that happens, like those creepy nurses and things that are in that. All that, all of it is very, Silent Hill has, like, very genitalia doors and stuff. Like, there's some crazy Freudian imagery in there, and Pyramid Head signifies that particular time of the month cycle thing and the pain and association with it. The knife there that he carries around has to do with this. Mainly because of that. You have to see Silent Hill, the movie, sometime.
No, I'm trying to rewind. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Lavetta.
Before menstruation.
Before Lavetta and menstruation.
Oh, that GamerCast.
Oh, the GamerCast, yeah. I've never listened to it, but now next time I listen to it, it will probably make me think of menstruation.
Yay!
Yeah, guys, I'll eventually listen, I think I'll download an episode of that GamerCast, and I'm going to think of it in the worst possible Freudian ways. Yes! Oh, yeah. Terrorist fist bump.
Boom. Terrorist fist... No, this is a terrorist fist
bump. Terrorist fist bump. Pull change!
So, Akon was pretty great. The drive down was easy. Roommates were very low maintenance.
The drive back was creepy. Although, we did stop in that one town with the overly friendly Pizza Hut.
Oh, and that got great coffee shop, Higher Grounds, in the Plaza of the Americas. Yeah.
Yes, they did. You know what? God bless them. Higher Grounds, were they Korean or something? I'm not sure. The Asian couple that runs Higher Grounds. Yeah, they're really nice people, and they make really great. Oh, their iced coffee is amazing.
Yeah, it's really
good. Those are really great.
And cheap.
Oh, yeah, very cheap. But also, like, if you go in there, if you go to Akon, go to their shop.
Was good, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, they're just a good restaurant. I mean, all those other little restaurants around there. This one, Higher Grounds is good. Although, you know what I really hate about driving in Dallas, Texas? All those little streets, which are all one way or so. There's like tons of little one way streets.
No one knows where they're going, so they all drive like assholes.
Yeah, they do. They're not like, okay, here in Colorado, people beep at you or honk their horn at you and don't use their directionals. In Texas, they don't use their directionals. We've discovered that GPSs are practically useless in there because they're always changing what way you can go on this or what roads are actually open. There's construction all over the place. Dallas is a mess to drive through. And it's funny because, like, you talk to people from Texas, they're like, every city in here is actually great to drive through until you get into Dallas. And Dallas is awful. That being said, some of the stuff on the GPS, like, we drove by the, I guess next year there'll be In-N-Out Burgers available.
Yes, we drove past a 2B In-N-Out Burger. It was old-fashioned. It just didn't have the signs. We drove past it and Philip started drooling on the seat.
Definitely. I was driving at the time.
I have to wait a whole year.
Yeah, weren't we going to stop by like Panera Bread or something? Yeah, we're like arguing over the food. We're like, we'll go to Panera Bread. And Buca de Beppo. Buca de Beppo?
Yeah.
Buca de Beppo.
Buca de Beppo?
Di Beppo.
Anyways.
Buca Lavetta.
No.
No? That's not the Pope's head in the middle of the table?
No.
Yeah, Buca la Beppo. De Beppo?
De Beppo. Buca di Beppo.
Buca di Beppo. Buca di Beppo.
Yes.
Buca di Beppo. Restaurant. Yeah, it's an Italian restaurant where
Planet Hollywood owns it now.
Yeah, it's made to look really, really tacky inside. Tons of, I guess, stereotypical Italian.
You like the bathrooms because there's all these
facts and things. I like the Maggiano's ones because Maggiano's has some interesting bathrooms. They've got old school pinups in the bathrooms.
Oh, that's
on the men's thing. They have those amazing napkins at Maggiano's. Yeah.
Anyway, the actual part of Akon.
Yeah.
Was very stress free this time around.
Oh, we bought stuff.
It went by really fast.
We actually bought, like, you bought that little $20 bag thingy.
I bought a panda.
Yeah, you bought that panda that's sitting over there. It's great. I bought some DVDs. I got a Project Echo for like $15, and that's actually what the Project Echo is actually.
Some DVDs and stuff for like $10 to $15.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Project Echo is what the Project Akon. Sorry, Akon is named Project Akon 22. That's what we went to. It's Project Akon 22 is the name of the convention. Now, Project Echo is the name of a anime about a super strong girl named Echo who hangs out with this girl named Seiko.
What year did Echo come out?
A Project Echo? Yeah, like early, something like that. Yeah, because like about 25 something years ago. I don't know. It's an old and kind of cheesy anime. To be honest, watching through it again, I was watching it with subtitles on the other day, like yesterday practically, and
really? Is that a picture of? That is a picture of a Mortal Kombat character on the toilet at the Sheridan.
That's funny.
Well, he's wearing pants. He's just sitting there
looking
like he's having diarrhea or something.
That's horrible. Why would somebody post that on their wall? Oh well, that's funny though. But no, actually going back to that, yeah, Project Echo is actually kind of I was watching this, I'm like,
it was Akon's 22nd year this year.
Yeah, I was like, Project Echo is a very confusing show. But Project Akon is a very confusing convention. No, not really very confusing. Yeah,
how many people was it this year? 18,500 or something like that.
It's a lot.
It was 18,000 something.
Okay, yeah, it's a bit. They did pretty. It was pretty interesting.
Not as crazy cosplaying this year.
Except for Toothless, that was pretty good.
Riley would finish her Groudon. Yeah, but that will have to wait until
Non-Descon. Yeah, we'll take some pictures of that. That's gonna be kind of cool. We saw that Toothless thing was cool.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
And the lady that did the Dark Crystal Dark Crystal cosplay was back this year, but not out too often in it. Because now she's like helping with she's helping with like the cosplay contests. Those are pretty great actually. I really liked the Hetalia Pokemon crossover. I mean, they had me at Winston Churchill, I choose you. Churchill uses speech, super effective, and then like Hitler exploded, and it was great. Hetalia is really, really messed up.
Yeah, not with that many Hetalia cosplayers as they are in Denver.
Lots of Black Butler.
Yeah, which is better than Naruto.
Well, there's a lot of that too, but Naruto, there's a interesting variety of stuff, but it's all kind of like. But then you get a lot of people who are like, I'm going to be Gaara from Naruto, or Sasuke. Yeah.
So who would you say was your favorite cosplay?
I really didn't have a favorite this year yet.
Any interesting, surprising ones? Like from old... There was that one from, what was it, Dragon Half
is the name of the show.
Dragon Half. There was a cosplay from Dragon Half.
You get at least one or two people who actually do something from an old show. No Hyper Police this year. That's
what I would like to see next year, or an NDK. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah, you're going to say like the Red Whirlwind from Romeo X Juliet.
Yes.
I still have yet to see anybody do a proper Chisei from Saikano, meaning with the arm. Or, hell, you know, I want to see some more video game cosplayers that aren't Portal. There's a lot of Portal people who show up, or Half-Life people, and while that's nice, and that's all well and good, there are a lot of other games besides Assassin's Creed or Portal or Halo or Mortal Kombat for that matter that deserve cosplay. You see tons of Mario and Princess Peach and stuff, but or Link. You see a lot of Link. And you know what? That's nice, but I'd like to see, like, say, Shantae from Shantae Risky's Revenge by Way Forward. I would definitely like to see cosplay for that. I'd like to see cosplay for, you see a lot of Halo people, but you don't see a lot of Metroid that's proper. I mean, Zero Suit Samus isn't too hard to do, but if you go out of the way and make a nice looking power suit Samus, that would be great. Or, I mean, yeah, you don't see as much Fire Emblem. You do see some people lazily doing Earthbound.
There was, I think, two people doing Mega Man.
Yeah. No, there's also Mega Man Zero stuff, but Mega Man Zero stuff is kind of like...
What was it called?
Disgaea.
Ava Unit 1?
Yeah, it's not a video game. So. Technically. No. You don't see enough.
That was pretty good, though.
Yeah. One thing that gets me, too, is like you also see a lot of Gurr. Sometimes, but you don't see a lot of Zim himself, which is kind of weird. Please, look into doing, like, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a good Sly Cooper, or a good, we see Mario and stuff, but do we ever see Donkey Kong? You never see Donkey Kong.
No, everyone does Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, you never, you also...
Even saw a
Yoshi.
Mario.
You saw a Yoshi, a Bowser, but you never see a Donkey Kong. You know what? That's kind of sad. People, if you're cosplaying, get it on like Donkey Kong. But, you know. Yeah.
Are you in?
Oh, wait, here's the area. Yif. We have the attendance numbers for AKON 22. 18,447 souls.
I was off by 3.
I
said 18,500.
Yeah. 80, something like that, yeah. Anywho. Yeah, it was pretty good this year. What?
It was pretty chill. We did our thing. Interviews. Mm-hmm. Went to some panels. Took some pictures. Not as much running around this year as last year. But we had two cameras.
This year we had two cameras.
And then I had a lot of fun at the costume contest.
Yeah. Because, like, that lady kept standing in your way.
Obnoxious videographer.
But I think she was with the convention, so, eh.
Yeah,
I know. Oh, well, maybe one of these years we'll be there with, like, a video camera and we'll split those up and we'll put up the little things. Because we can do that. We're allowed. But, yeah, overall, it was it was pretty well run. I didn't hear about any incidents. Nobody got injured like previous years. What was
amazing? None of the elevators in our tower broke.
Yeah, none of the elevators in our tower broke.
That's amazing. Last year, they were broken by Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was interesting. This year was a lot...
more chill.
Oh, yeah. Everything seemed to be working.
Running kind of smooth, yeah.
Yeah.
So good job, volunteers or
staff. Volunteers and staff at AKON 22, you guys did a great job. Pat yourselves on the back. And,
we'll see you guys next year.
Yeah, see you next year, I suppose, right? But yeah, let's go ahead and run the interview with Kyle Abair. Anything else to say before we sign out of this segment?
No. That was him. That wasn't me.
No, okay.
I swear.
It's the medicine. It's been kicking in. Theraflu. But yeah, I guess we can stop recording.
Cue the music.
No. Okay, see you after the end of the segment. You know, they didn't have me on their last program.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be like, CBG, CBG, CBGGG. Get me on your program. Shame on you.
Yeah, I know.
I know, they couldn't wait 2 hours.
You and Frank were all, like, at each other's throats on Twitter. I think
he says I'm jaded.
You're jaded.
Oh, man, I'm so jaded.
The only drug you use is caffeine.
Well, Vortex.
That's caffeine. Well, it's caffeine,
practically. But no, it's because I said something about, like, the Xbox 360, where I'm like, hey, we got a PS3. I couldn't really think of anything on the 360.
Why would you need both?
You don't really need both. Especially considering all the... I mean, oh man. Since once the Wii U comes out, you won't... There's no purpose for the PS3 at that point. If I can get a lot of the games that are on there, along with Nintendo franchises. Well, that being said, there's no Sly Cooper on the Xbox 360. There's no Shadow of the Colossus or Ico on it either. So, you know, it's all good.
That's funny.
Oi. Oh, that is pretty funny. Oi. Actually, that's kind of disturbing. Here, look. We're checking Facebook, too. Somebody's mentioning that, you know, they're doing that animated live-action version of The Lorax.
By Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, and Danny DeVito is voicing The Lorax. What? Somehow I wonder if that'll be any good. Oh, well. Anyways, but yeah.
Good night, big balls.
Oh, no, those big boobs.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, so, what have you been playing, Sarah?
Legend of Zelda 3DS.
And where are you in Legend of Zelda 3DS?
Where have I been Legend of... Oh, where am I?
Yeah.
I am in the beginning part, the first half of the second dungeon with the... Out of the Goron City.
The Dongo Caverns. Dodongo dislikes smoke.
I was... Yeah, I haven't put too much time into it, but...
Hey.
I was playing it during my lunch break yesterday.
Yeah. So. I am in the Forest Temple. I am an adult Link. I have the hookshot. I just got the fairy bow. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got arrows now. So I'm going to be laying waste to some things. Ah, man, I forgot,
a couple more things.
Yeah?
Okay, Sunday, we went to Best Buy and picked up 2 copies of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time on 3DS.
And we got that $25 gift certificate. And Best Buy was doing that,
buy one copy of Zelda, buy a second 3DS game, get a $25 gift card, and we convinced them to allow it even with 2 copies of Zelda. So we got a $25 gift card. And then
I went and
took one of those Infamous 2 Hero Edition boxes.
Yeah.
Took it to the register with the $25 gift card.
We got that. We got that. It was pretty good. I like the bag that comes with it. I think I've used the bag. Yeah, I've been toting that around.
We haven't really played the game yet because we wanted to play the first one first.
Which we downloaded, and we'll play through a little bit of that. I've heard you don't have to. There's like a recap at the front of Infamous 2 or something. But I'm like, I want to get a little... You can get some stuff for playing the first game.
Oh, yeah?
In the second game, yeah. And that also comes with, like, DLC stuff, and, we can download the soundtrack for it, too. And then there's, like, the little figurine, which, we haven't really taken out of plastic or anything. But, yeah, probably that was pretty cool. Probably sell that. Probably.
What else did it come with? Can you remember something
else? There's a bag. The DLC figurine. Yeah, because we're looking at it, I was like, wow, that bag's great.
Comic book that was bad.
The little edge of it's bent a little bit, but
there's nothing else.
Yeah.
On the game, right?
Yeah, game.
I feel like I'm forgetting.
Game, downloadable soundtrack, figurine, DLC, bag.
$83?
Yeah.
Not bad for a $60 game. It's
not bad. Not bad. I like it when there's like these special editions of things.
We mainly got it because Philip liked the bag. Oh man, while we were at Acon, I saw so many people with the bag.
Yeah,
I remember seeing 2 different guys with that.
Saw about 3 or 4 people.
And
with the bag.
And it's got a little Sly Cooper.
Sly Cooper. Yeah, Sly Cooper is a great game. I've got it on the PS2. I think I have Sly Cooper 1, 2, and I don't remember if I have 3 or not. I have to check. 3 was the time one. I was like, but there's that new Sly Cooper coming out, and I like that game. It's very stylish, and I like how in Infamous, he's got that same cling ability, kind of. Like, oh, I'm going to jump up on this thing. Wah! Clings on it like a good Spider-Man.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about falling off, I guess.
It's pretty great. These people at Sucker Punch are pretty great. I follow them on Twitter, too, because they're good people. Like, props out to Sucker Punch. Word. But yeah,
but not the movie.
No. The movie was disappointing. It felt like it was trying to be an anime type thing, but kinda like, okay, if you're going to address, I suppose icky subjects or so, be an R-rated film. Do it. It felt like it was trying to be coy when it didn't need to be. That said, its soundtrack was great.
The only thing that annoyed me is the trailer did not convey that it was about rape or sexual assault.
Well, each of these characters in there was that, but they went as far as they could with, like, out being like, okay, you know, they need to, well, they, okay. I think that they should have been more Black Swan.
They could have been more forthcoming with the plot.
They could be more forthcoming
with the plot. The whole driving force behind it was that.
Yeah. Which getting over sexual assault. Because, like, remember, because, like, then, of course, you have to wonder if, like, all the characters exist. Because, remember, the main character is not technically the main character in it. At the end of it, the character that survives may be the only character that's actually real. If you look at it that way. I think there was an interview or something with the director, who also directed The 300 and Watchmen. And he's like, well, not all these characters that are in this show are real. Which makes a lot of sense, because if they're parts of this lady, the main character's personality, so the character that survives, they might, all the other people that don't survive might not have ever existed.
Dun dun dun.
What?
Yeah. Dun dun dun.
That being said, it's one of those where, like, it's something that needs to be broken down by a film class, but I felt that it should have been R instead of PG-13 so that they could do more with it. Kind of like, the ending's also, the way it's designed feels like a cop-out, kind of like how, you know, at the end of Inception with the spinning top? That's a cop-out. And I was like, wow, Christopher Nolan, why did you do that? Everything was going wonderful in here, then you throw that little bit in there, and I'm like, no. Kind of like the last couple minutes of
I liked it.
Source Code. Source Code was awesome.
I liked the end of it.
Well, I felt that there's a spot where they could have ended it, and it would be amazing. I liked it, kind of wrapped it
up around, because they ended up at the bean, like, in his memory.
Yeah. Which is so weird, because, like, it brings up some, because it looks like they're going for that anyways, like, what they did in Source Code, but people were like, I remember listening to, like, Film Spotting or something, and they're like, we felt they should have stopped it at this point. And so you're thinking to myself, well, you guys also like Terrence Malick films. By the way, I haven't seen much of Tree of Life, but if it's like a lot of his other stuff, it's going to be very pretty cinematically,
but
very shallow plot-wise.
So it'll be popular.
No, it won't. He's more like, his other stuff was like The Thin Red Line.
Is it like Water for Elephants or something?
No, that's different. No, this guy did like The Thin Red Line, a couple other things. Oh, Terrence Malick, whatever.
Is it time to listen to that interview?
Oh yeah, we do have the interview. We've been rambling on for almost an hour.
It's a good interview. It's
pretty good, yeah.
I was silent, but...
For, yeah.
It was fun.
You weren't there for all the interviews, though. You were there for,
Kyle, let's see.
Kyle Bear, Vanessa... you were there for... Monty Oom?
Monty Oom, yeah.
You weren't there for Jeremy Lee, Team Ninja, or Peter S. Beagle.
Sorry, I wasn't going to wake up at 8 in the morning to go talk to Peter S. Beagle about her. How awesome and calm he is and how personable he is. He's very...
Please, I wish I had more time there to do that. I could have talked for him for hours.
I want to get to know you.
He's pretty great.
One-on-one.
He is a very nice person. You should check out his books. He's a very good author.
Oh, and that... Yeah, anyways, we'll talk about that in a later
episode. We'll talk about that. Today, it's all about... Well, Lavetta stuff, or Akon wrap-up, and,
the voice actor of Top of the Top and Lord
Gone. Kyla Bear. Kyla Bear. He's also the English voice of Ryu from, Super Street Fighter 4. And all those. And I think he's supposed to be in, like, Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I don't like calling it Street Fighter Cross Tekken or Tekken Cross Street Fighter. Because that's an X. It's not a cross. It's an X. Okay. But if you say, like, Street Fighter X Tekken, it's more like shipping at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, Ryu and generic character from Tekken. Because Tekken has kind of, like, most of the characters in Tekken are not that memorable. No, they're not that memorable.
Cross-dressers?
There's a few that, probably, who knows? Nina Williams is a man. No, I'm kidding. Oh, no.
That's not nice.
That's not nice, though.
Because we know that person.
We know that, yeah. No, Nina Williams, the character in there. That's the only one I can name off the top of my head from Tekken. I think I'm wait, they have that little dinosaur thing in it.
I think the only time I've played Tekken has been in arcades.
You know, we have, I think, Tekken. I think we have either Tekken or Tekken 2 and our PlayStation 1 stuff on the PS3.
All right. Maybe we'll go play that while you guys listen to...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Interview.
Interview of you. Yeah, we'll probably go play that. Yeah. So, here's the... we're going to play the feature music, and you're going to listen to Kyle LaBerre tickle your eardrums with his soft... melodic.
Dr. Pepper soothed voice.
Yeah, with his soothing Dr. Pepper voice.
Dr. Pepper.
I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, something pepper, pepper.
I'm a pepper, you're a doctor.
Oh, yes, we can play doctor. We can play doctor instead of Tekken while they're listening to the interview. Sounds like a good idea to me. Right?
And welcome to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley. I'm sitting here at Akon 22 with...
Kyle Hebert.
It's pronounced Hebert?
It is pronounced Hebert. It looks like Hebert, and some people think it's Herbert, but you take the first R out, and a little Louisiana French for you. H is silent, E's like an A, so Hebert.
Hebert. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was like Herbert, kind of like a Steve Colbert or something like that.
Well, yeah, the Colbert... thing is kind of a boon to my last name, at least the last syllable, at least.
Yeah, the last syllable.
So when people see that, they can at least, oh, okay. It's like, oh, just think of it this way. A bear is attacking.
Ah, so, yeah, Kyle, a bear is attacking.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Pretty
so,
much.
So, what brings you to Akon 22?
Well, the kind folks of Akon, actually, they asked me back again. I've been here pretty much every year for the past decade plus, and it's an honor to get to come. This was the first convention, the anime convention that I went to as a fan in 99 and started becoming a guest in 2000, 2001, and been coming pretty much every year. And it's great because, you know, I grew up in Dallas, and it's my hometown. And so these guys are like family, the staff, the organizers, and made a lot of friends through the years. And, of course, the attendees see a lot of familiar faces, along with new ones every year. So it's always a blast.
So it says you grew up in Louisiana, but one of your first gigs was out in on a radio station there, Squeegee or something like that? I'm looking on IMDb here.
Okay, yeah. Squeege was my on-air name on Radio Disney, which is here, what was here in Dallas. Now it's in Los Angeles, where I live. Ironically, which that's a radio job I had for 9 years, and I was there, I was doing DJ work for different stations before that. And then that particular job for Disney opened up the opportunity to get into voice acting with Funimation, because they were looking at the time, DBZ was number one with Toonami and Cartoon Network, and Radio Disney was looking to do some prize giveaways. So they took a tour of Funimation, and we ended up actually giving away some of the action figures and toys and stuff. But when they did that, they kind of found out that there were open auditions. They were, you know, casting the next story arc. And they knew how badly this was something I wanted. So, you know, I hadn't been able to find a number or anything. I saw, like, a Dallas Observer article covering Funimation. They interviewed Chris Sabat, said, oh my gosh, I had no idea it was here in Dallas. Man, I got to get a number. I got to get in. And couldn't find anything. And then luckily, you know, the place where I worked said, hey, we got a phone number for open auditions. Like, yes, thank you. So I went in, tried out, got lucky, and started off with bit parts on the End of the Cell Saga and Bardock Special. And then eventually I got the very first character that I originally tried out for, which was Teen Gohan.
Ah.
Got the narrator shortly after that. And then as we went on and finished the series, we went back in and I took Ox King from Chris Sabat and did that in Dragon Ball. And Funimation started getting other shows. You know, the DBZ cash cow, as it were, was able to channel some other licenses. So we got Blue Gender, Yu Yu Hakusho, and those are my first villain voices, I guess.
Hmm.
And in 2005... I decided to leave radio and pursue voice acting full-time in Los Angeles. And been there ever since. I've got to be on Naruto and Bleach, and that's all kind of facilitated by Steve Bloom, who's best known as Spike from Cowboy Bebop, and he was Tom the Toonami Robot, actually, for many years. And nowadays, he's Wolverine, a lot of the X-Men stuff. He's Starscream on Transformers Prime, and, you know, constantly working, a great, great friend and mentor and inspiration to me.
I had a question. Since you worked here in Dallas for a little while, you've worked in Texas, apparently, with Funimation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've worked in L.A. Since Texas is a right-to-work state, did you have to join the union when you went out to L.A.?
I've done a little, depending on some of the projects, you know, if you want to read for, you know, Disney and Nickelodeon and all that, that's union stuff, and the stuff out here, you don't tend to find a lot of union gigs, because it is a right-to-work state, and I think that's the reason Funimation kind of set up shop here.
Yeah.
And a lot of the talent that have started at Funimation and now live in L.A., we're all crossing our fingers that, you know, just to save time from having to fly back and forth, you know, Troy Baker, Travis Willingham, Laura Bailey, Vic Mignogna, we're all like Texas exports, as it were. But we still fly back from time to time to work on Funimation shows. We keep on hoping that you know, they'd open an L.A. wing or something, you know.
Mm. Have you looked into, I noticed that you've also done voice acting for video games as well.
Many.
Have you done any audiobooks?
I have done audiobooks. I did some audio stuff for a tiny company called Timberwolf Press outside of Plano years ago while I was still living in Texas. I haven't done them since I moved to L.A., though. It's kind of a hard thing to get into when you think about the amount of work that goes into it. It ends up being a nice payday, but you work for it because, you know, not only do you need to do your prep and read the book ahead of time, but you need to come up with all these different voices. It's like if I'm narrating an audiobook that has 30 different women in it, how am I going to make them all sound unique? You know, besides, oh my gosh, I'm a high-pitched voice. You know, like that just becomes, you know, the point of parody or whatnot. So that becomes a juggling effort, as it were, to do. But I know a lot of friends that do audiobooks, and they enjoy it and everything. The kind of projects that, you know, give me the most pleasure, creatively speaking, are all the character-oriented stuff. So getting to work in anime, and mostly what I do now are games, which is a higher paycheck, ironically, given that anime dubbing is the hardest type of voice work to do, because you're acting and matching lip sync. But it's also on the lowest end of the totem pole pay-wise. And just historically always has. It's never going to pay the same as working on a cartoon or something. That's why you'll never hear Billy West on anime. And how can you blame him? If you're used to making scale, which is, you know, close to $800 a session. Now, someone like him on Futurama, he's making like, what, 75 grand an episode or something? But your average voice actor, even the established ones, you know, a cartoon making close to 800, or a game can make up to 800. Or sometimes, if you're lucky, double scale. Or, you know, and that's per session. So if you're the main character on a session, you do a four-hour session, and you have another 4 hours left, okay, suddenly I got $1,600. Like, oh, we got pickups. Oh, okay, another ching, so it adds up. Now, the downside is, unlike cartoons and on-camera movies and such, there's no residuals. There's no residuals in anime or video games. Oh, well.
So you've done a Ryu on, how do you pronounce it? Is it Ryu, Ryu?
Capcom. Capcom said it's Ryu.
Ryu.
Now the 1994 and the movie called him Ryu, and a lot of fans have called him Ryu through the years. But I got to go with how Capcom told me to say it. So we say Ryu.
Speaking of which, of Capcom, anyways, are you going to be in Street Fighter X Tekken?
I really hope so, because what Capcom did when Street Fighter 4 came out a few years ago was they said, we want to establish this franchise from here forward. When we do the English version, we want a consistent cast. So let's do the math here. If Ryu is in Street Fighter X Tekken, then hopefully they'll give me a call. Because, you know, yeah, I would love to be in that. And Tekken is a really fun fighting franchise in its own right. And I, you know, getting to see those two mashed up together. That'd be great. I'd like to personally see Soul Calibur and
versus Street Fighter. Yeah, that would be great. That'd be, because especially since Soul Calibur 5 has been announced.
Right. And Soul Calibur is actually my favorite of the fighting franchises. And I'll be honest, the reason is because you can button mash. I love button mashing.
Kind of like Dead or Alive, you can button mash just a little.
It takes a little more strategy for that. And in Street Fighter 2, but Marvel vs. Capcom, I've noticed, it goes back to the button mashing thing. And you have, you know, a 50-50 shot of, you know,
of winning or not.
Yeah.
Winning!
Winning! Yeah, I'll take that risk, you know, because I just can't remember the combos. Down, right. Down, right, right. Down, X, X.
So, since you've worked on a lot of video games and anime in particular, what was your favorite one for work to work on, and what one? What was your favorite anime to work on?
Wow, man! You know, honestly, through the years, it's just I've noticed that even if it's a bit part, an unnamed character, or an episodic character, or a main role, or whatever it is, I'm just happy to be working because you know it's great to get paid to do what I do, but it's very sporadic, so. It's not like I'm rich or anything. I'm so not. I'm in debt as much
Chris
as the next
Patton
guy.
And Steve Bloom. Those are rich people. No, I'm kidding.
No, not really. I think Steve Bloom's doing well because he's been doing this for 20 years. You know, he's very, very established. But I've been doing it for, you know, this is my 11th year. And, you know, I have some good months and then I have bad months, you know. But in terms of roles, DBZ will always be special, you know. I usually get asked to do the narrator voice a lot, and that's always been a ton of fun. But of recent years, Kamina has been a really epic, manly character that has really made a connection with a lot of fans.
So, like, really quickly, could I get you to do the Kamina voice? Just say, like, don't believe in yourself, believe in the me that believes in you.
Don't believe in yourself, believe in me. Believe in the Kamina that believes in you.
Ah, excellent.
Yours is the drill that will pierce the heavens.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, what made you want to get into radio and voice acting?
Theater of the mind. You know, the power of the mind can just fill in and make it more epic than any movie camera could possibly do, you know? It's like people will always argue that the Harry Potter books are so much better than the movies, yet they keep going to see the movies. And I'm a visual person. I don't really read books. I go to see the movies. But the thing with me growing up wanting to do voice work is I was always too shy to get on stage, and I always had difficulty memorizing lines. The great thing about voice work is you're not biased by how you look. You know, you don't have to sit on a set for hours on end and do makeup and wardrobe and all that. You go in for a few hours, record in your PJs if you wanted to. And, yeah, I'm 42 now, but... You know, the characters I voice tend to be, you know, teenagers. And then some guys are even older than I am. But I have a wide range of voices, so I can give them whatever they want. And, you know, I can not have to worry about 1,000 eyes staring at me. Now, the thing that voice acting and radio, for that matter, did was build confidence and kind of get me out of my shy shell. So now I have no problem at an anime convention addressing 1,000 people staring at me and telling people that I'm doing something that I loved and everything. It's actually been very therapeutic and helpful for me to come out of my shell and be a confidence booster. And again, getting to do something that I've wanted to do since childhood and I'm getting to do as an adult and having a blast. And I always try to be inspirational to people who want to do this sort of thing or anything they want in life. You know, go for it. Because, you know, regret and wondering what if is a lot worse. Mm. Even if you don't succeed at the end goal, at least you tried. And that's worth its weight in gold right there.
So, considering you said you've wanted to do this since you were very young, what radio programs or radio plays did you grow up with?
Let's see. Well, the biggest influence on me in terms of becoming a voice actor was Looney Tunes. So Mel Blanc, doing all those great characterizations himself. I used to listen to, you know, The Shadow, all these old classic sci-fi horror genre type stuff. Listening to Dr. Demento, mm-hmm. you know, do his weekly radio show. And I would sit around and just take an old cassette recorder and make up my own character voices and do radio shows, play DJ and stuff. You know, back then I had a turntable, play Kiss records, Aerosmith, Queen, and pretend I was my own radio station and everything.
I'm sure your parents loved that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, absolutely.
They're like,
And then they gave me a drum set. Ooh, big mistake.
When
I was in middle school, I fell in love with drumming. So I was a high school band nerd. I was on the drum line, and we kind of kept to ourselves, but yeah.
Do you play any other instruments besides drums?
Nope. No, it's been years. I mean, my drums sit in storage here in Dallas.
Oh.
But, you know, I kind of live in an apartment.
You know, you could always auction them off for Japan or something.
I could. That'd be a really good cause. I haven't parted ways with them because of sentimental reasons, but, you know, but maybe one of these days I can afford an electronic drum set.
Ooh.
And just put on the headphones and not bug the neighbors, you know? Because a lot of people say, what would you be doing if you weren't voice acting? And my first answer, which is half joking, I said, well, I'd be trying to become a voice actor. And then other than that, well, you know, I love music. I love playing drums. So I'd probably be playing in a band or something.
Trying to sing?
I don't know about singing. You know, definitely doing different voices and stuff. You know, I can write. I write promos and do voiceover for Kevin Smith's Smodcast. Network, the Sir Radio. So
yeah,
Smodcast Internet Radio.
So that is you. I was like, this sounds he sounds really familiar for some reason. We were just talking.
Smodcast Internet Radio. Yeah, that's me.
Yep.
yeah, that's surreal. I got to meet Kevin Smith. I've been a fan since the first Clerks, and then getting to hang out at his house for a while, talk to him, and see this, you know, gorgeous Hollywood mansion. Wow, this is sweet. So now I'm kind of his employee.
Oh, that's good.
I get to write and not worry about the FCC because, you know, it's internet radio. It's, you know, we can be as adult as we want.
Yeah, it's like I've been listening to that when I listened to Plus One, Smodcast, and Jay and Silent Bob Get Old.
Good deal, man.
Well, yeah,
good
what's deal. It?
You what's hear your me all the time.
Those? Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, I honestly, it's hard to say. I really do love the vibe that him and his wife have and how they're just themselves. And you just get a slice of their everyday life. And they've literally just built a radio station in their living room. And that's cool. You know, I was a podcaster for 5 years. You know, when I first moved to L.A., I started the Big Ball Broadcast. And I ceased that last summer, so about a year ago. Because my co-host became a dad for the second time, and my engineer wanted to do his own network thing. I said, all right, I'm going to take a hiatus. I may revisit podcasting eventually.
Why'd you call it the Big Ball Big Ball Podcast?
Well, Big Ball Broadcast.
Broadcast.
We called it that. A friend of mine was a podcaster, and he said, why'd you call it Big Ball Broadcast? I was like, oh, that's a great name. Because I'm big, and I'm bald.
Oh, and, big bald.
That's right.
I heard ball. I was
Bald. So I just wanted to do a podcast about things that I'm interested in. I started out thinking, okay, well, I'll make it about voice actors. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe three or four shows out of that.
Yeah, I'd run out of like, how'd you become a voice actor? And you just ask the same questions over and over again. So I thought, well, what are people who follow voice actors, what are they into? Well, they're into cartoons, anime, video games, sci-fi, fantasy, horror, comics, collectibles, pop culture. We'll just do a mashup. Mashup of subjects.
That's always the best way to go with it, because like if you get way too pointed on these, you find out you run out of shows really quickly.
Yeah, but the power of podcasting was exciting. It rejuvenated my interest in radio. Because I'll be honest, in 2005, one of the factors that said, "All right, I got to get up and move to LA and try this voice acting thing," was that radio was getting a little stale for me. Because again, you know, I got to report to the big man, corporate America, and I got to do things a certain way, and this, that, and the other, and you know, for anyone who wanted to do a radio show about anime, for example, would have to submit to the FCC to get a license to be a broadcaster and then beg a local radio station to maybe get an hour on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m.
Yeah, I've worked with radio before, and honest to goodness, it's really difficult to get anything out there that's not either top 10 DJing or conservative talk radio. That's on AM.
And radio is a dying thing. I mean, it's in a state of flux, rather. I mean, I guess it's a more accurate thing. It's always been a hard deal because there's no such thing as a mom-and-pop radio station in the middle of nowhere. It's always these big conglomerates, these big corporate things that buy up
APR,
all the little stations.
APR, NPR.
Clear Channel.
Oh, yeah.
All these huge, huge things that, you know, they fire out the whole staff and maybe have a handful of guys that just voice track all the DJ stuff for, you know, mere pittance. And how do you live on that wage, you know?
And I could imagine you'd get terribly bored with that.
You would get bored. I did some voice tracking for Armed Forces Radio, actually.
Oh, AFES? My dad's military, so we've been stationed in Germany, so I may have heard you on AFN or something, right?
You might have. I was on Z-Rock on the Heavy Metal Hard Rock Armed Forces Network channel.
Yeah, I mostly listened to Paul Harvey on that.
Okay. Paul Harvey, good day.
It's like, and that's the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, good stuff. I mean, talk radio has definitely made its niche. It's not going anywhere. Whether it's politics or, you know, shock talk, you know, Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, that stuff. And of course, you know, Kevin Smith kind of leading the way with showing, you know, the streaming internet radio, take your built-in fan base and switch mediums. Mm. You know, he's slowly gearing away from making movies. He's directed Red State, which is kind of a horror drama.
Have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it any good? I haven't seen it yet.
It's very good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff. It's not comedy. It's not stoner comedy. It's not anything. It's like completely different thing. It's like, what if I did like a Tarantino, Coen Brothers type serious movie using the Westboro Baptist Church people as kind of a starting off point?
Definitely.
So it's dark and bloody and violent and suspenseful and very good. I'm interested to see how it does, considering he's distributing it himself.
Oh yeah, I saw the thing. Saw the thing they did at, I think it was the Cannes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. And I just lost my question. I had it right there and just whoop.
Went out the way.
Oh, that happens. But that's fine. I've worked with that.
Yeah, before. I mean, I can add that, you know, I guess I am still podcasting. You know, I stream, you know, with websites like Ustream and Stickcam. You know, anybody can do a live show, which is cool. You know, I like the fact that I could turn on the app on my iPhone here at Akon and stream, you know, assuming I have a strong enough signal.
Oh,
I could sit here and interview cosplayers. I could walk around and talk to people, and I could have an audience because I've built that up through the years. So, I mean, that's exciting.
So, a couple of these are con-related questions. Like, okay, what was your best experience at a convention?
Best experience. Wow, gosh. I think getting invited to Sydney, Australia, and Wellington, New Zealand, which were back-to-back weekends, so, you know, I had to stay down there for about 2 weeks.
Somewhere in the bushes.
Oh, poor me. Yeah. Oh, no, no. It was very the populated area. But
So somewhere in the bushes.
Yeah, somewhere in the bushes. That's right. Good day. No, I was seeing the Sydney Opera House. Just a gorgeous city. And then Wellington, New Zealand. I got to see Weta Workshop. At the time, Two Towers hadn't come out yet.
Mm.
So we got to see all the Lord of the Rings stuff. And it's just amazing getting to do that. And this last time, I actually went to Sydney again this year. And met Lance Henriksen and Karen Allen and, you know, folks from the Indiana Jones films, Aliens. You know, these are films that made a huge impact on me as a teenager and a kid, you know, seeing Indiana Jones and Aliens. And here I am hobnobbing with these guys that are mutual guests of the con. And like, whoa, this is unreal. This is wild. I'm sitting on a bus talking about, you know, voice acting or talking about to Lance Henriksen, who's... you know, just amazing.
Acting.
Just about acting, about his projects and whatnot. He should be doing more voice work.
Someone
with those soothy, dulcet tones. He's such a great... And he's just done, like, Tron, the animated series that's coming out, the miniseries. I'm a huge Tron nerd.
Mm.
And I mean, they got all celebrities for it, which is kind of a soapbox I go off on. It's like, come on, let's stop getting the celebrities. Get the people who do this for a living. Because I honestly don't think people that go to see Hollywood films have the same mentality. It's like, oh, I go to see this movie because it has a major star.
No.
Like, why do you buy a game? I mean, did you buy Modern Warfare because it had Gary Oldman in it or Sam Worthington?
No, it's for the multiplayer.
Exactly. You buy the game for the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, those characters have to be voiced, but why would you spend, you know, millions of dollars to get a celebrity on there? They don't even put their names on the box art.
You know? Yeah, it's not. You're not looking at, like, Modern Warfare 3 starring Jeff Bridges.
And they may very well get someone of that caliber for it. But I say, why don't you use your budget a little more wisely in this recession and pay scale to people who do this for a living and aren't just going to phone in a performance?
Yeah, because a lot of these people, it's like, well, okay, as long as I sound like Alan Rickman, it's okay. That type of
thing. Yeah. And that may work for a Hollywood film. I mean, it's kind of sad that X-Men First Class didn't do quite as well as everyone had hoped. And some people are saying, oh, it's because there's no major stars in it.
No, I kind of want to... I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you should. I think it's brilliant.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet because we've been driving. We were driving when it was out. the whole 9-hour, 10-hour drive type deals.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we'll see it soon.
Highly recommend it, and I hope it finds its footing. Maybe people stayed away because they felt burned from
the Wolverine third one.
Origins and X3.
Yeah.
It's like, do we really want to see this again? We don't care at this point. But no, it's really good.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to check that one out. So, what was your worst experience at a convention? And don't worry, I can tag this with a not safe for work tag. We have an SFW, by the way. So we can be an SFW.
God, I can't think of... I know some of my voice acting colleagues have had far worse experiences than me. I know
no one creepy actor, fans.
Well, creepy fans, sure. Maybe ones that just kind of get up in your personal space, or they need to bathe, and you can smell what they had for lunch 3 days previous, and they have, you know, they're wearing their cosplay and they sweated in it all day. And but again, horror stories that I luckily have not gone through. One actor was roofied. Someone made him cookies.
Ooh.
And now he will not accept food from fans because of that. I mean, he was tripping. He said, someone put something in this cookie.
Like the Hangover type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel sorry for... we got a lot of very attractive female voice actors. And, of course, you know, some of the fans get a little attached.
They're like, I want to lick you.
And you're
like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, you get fans that will literally camp outside their hotel room. Speaking of licking, Scott McNeil, very established Canadian voice actor, a fan licked his face, and yeah, he was pretty grossed out by that.
Yeah, because all things considering, a Canadian national treasure.
Yeah, he is. He's the Mel Blanc. He's one of the big inspirations to me.
Still. Kind of their apology for Bryan Adams and Justin Bieber, right?
That's true. I love Canada, though. I get to go there a couple times a year, and I think they're great. I love Tim Hortons. I love their health care. I wish we had their health care.
Well, who knows?
How's that for ADD Podcast? Well, God, can you just answer the question?
Yeah, no. It's like, yeah, let's sit this.
I know, so, all over the place. Whoa!
No, that's fine. If we're all over the place, it makes for interesting experiences for our guests, because we've done a lot of we've interviewed a lot of their voice actors and such, like Liesl Wilkerson and stuff. She does Nina in Tekken. So
oh, sweet. You know,
so who knows?
Good deal.
So when you're when you're working on a the audio for a video game, mm-hmm. How does that go? How does that happen? The recording process for that.
Well, I actually do a panel workshop at cons. I'm actually doing it here this weekend about video game voice acting, because unlike anime, where you're doing lip sync, in video games you tend to match the length of the Japanese audio since you don't have a visual reference. Sometimes there may be some rough animatics done and you might have to do some lip sync for that, but generally all you see is like an Excel spreadsheet script. You may not even see a picture of the character you're voicing. You may just hear, it's like, okay, you're playing a 30-year-old soldier. It's like, okay, now you're going to play a 500-year-old demon. All right, now you're going to be a,
12-year-old kid, that type of thing. Like, oh, yeah.
Something like that. Now you're a wisecracking deity, you know, this, that, and the other. All in the same session. but yeah, most games are from Japan, so we'll listen to the Japanese audio to hear how loud or soft it needs to be. And sometimes we have to pay very close attention, as if it's, get out of the way, da 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 da, and they say it in Japanese and it takes 5 seconds, then we got to make sure we say the English equivalent in 5 seconds, preferably 4.9. Or 4.95 or whatever.
Well, because so that they can fit more of it on there, because the audio is a little bit different.
Well, they animate the lip flaps to the Japanese audio, so obviously we're stuck with that. But when we record, sometimes we'll do like 2 or 3 takes in a row. We'll hear the Japanese, so the actor hears how long it needs to be, how quiet or soft it needs to be, and then we go and do our take. It's like, get out of the way! Get out of the way! We'll do, a slower one, faster one, variants. And then the director will confer with the writer, the producer there from the gaming company, and it's like, okay, good, next. And it's kind of assembly line, just down in numerical order. And, again, the pay is a lot better for a game, and technically it's easier.
So, back to the subject of anime... Was there anything that you didn't get to voice act that you really wanted to voice act for, like a particular show?
Everything I've ever auditioned for. No. It's, every actor will tell you that. It's like, because I try out. I audition more than I work, and I think that's true for just about any actor. There's always exceptions, but in generally, you know, we're constantly trying to get jobs because auditions don't pay. So if they don't call you, you ain't working. I haven't worked in 3 weeks. So I flew here to Akon, and now my phone's lighting up with, we need you now. I'm like, you can't get me until I get back. And I'm like, irony. Murphy's Law. But, yeah, so sometimes it rains, it pours.
Sometimes. Since you do a lot of work with Funimation, are you auditioning for, or have you been approached to work with, say, they licensed Fairy Tale recently. Would you like,
I think it's actually been recorded already. I don't know.
You don't know yet?
It sounds familiar. That name sounds familiar. Mm.
There's Fairy Tale, and then there's Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt. That's another big
one. I've heard of that one. I don't think that one's
auditioning yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I mean,
you gotta try out for it?
If I got to audition for it, here's the thing. I would have to fly out on my own dime from L.A.
Oh.
Now, some actors do get to do that and come out. I mean, I tried out for Hetalia. I felt pretty confident in it, but at the time, it's like, it'd be a blessing and a curse. If it's like, congratulations, you're on Hetalia. That's awesome. And then I'd be like, immediate panic mode. I don't have $400 for a flight, and I have to front that. I mean, yeah, I would make it back by recording on the show and everything, but the way it's set up, no, we wouldn't, they wouldn't cover the flight or anything like that.
That's kind of a shame.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. That's why it kind of re-emphasizes that you need to live where the work is. And they're throwing us a bone because we're already established. You know, they're not just going to let anyone from anywhere try out because chances are they're not going to have the money for a flight at the drop of a hat either.
Mm.
How many people do? And, you know, so, I mean, the way it's set up, we go and record and we sign our little timesheets and 3 or 4 weeks later, then the paycheck shows up. So, you know, being freelance, you kind of got to space your living out and kind of budget and make it last, you know, as it were.
So what do you do outside of voice acting or radio or the video games to make up for that? Bag groceries?
I should, but, you know, here's the thing. I go to so many cons that I'm not available on weekends, so I don't have the elusive part-time job right now. I'm living on voice acting, which sounds great. But it's also a huge financial struggle because if you ain't working for 3 weeks, that's 3 weeks you're not going to see income for. So it's a little bit rough. So we're being freelance, we're throwing a lot of stuff in different irons and different fires because maybe if I'm auditioning and not getting work over here, maybe this studio will hire me for something. So, I mean, up until an hour ago, I had nothing scheduled for next week. Now I have two things, which is great.
Are you under NDA on those?
Usually, yeah.
Usually?
Yeah, I can say one's a game and one's a recurring show with ninjas that I'm on.
Oh.
You can probably deduce what that is.
Fruits Basket, right?
Yes.
Right?
Oh. Fruits Basket Ninjas, yes.
Yes.
That would be awesome. That would be pretty epic. But alas. No, I mean, I hate the non-disclosure agreement thing. I would love to, I mean, because I'm a social media whore. I tweet,
like,
on Facebook.
Tweet it.
I do. And the compromise is I can say, oh, I just auditioned for an awesome project. I can't say what. But and then people will constantly ask, what is it? It's like, I can't tell you.
I can't. No, it's just like that.
Because, unfortunately, some actors have gotten in trouble for doing that. And then, you know, they're not going to sue you or anything, but they'll just not work with you again. And that's, you know, a crushing blow to someone who's freelance, you know. You want to keep working. You want to keep a good working relationship. You want to be trustworthy. Not only have a strong work ethic, but respect the bounds that they said, all right, we're trusting you with this information. Don't, you know, email the script to your friends. Don't post it anywhere. Don't, you know, don't talk about it. It's like Fight Club. Don't talk about Fight Club.
No, don't talk about Fight Club. Now, I'm going to ask an interesting little It's something we've asked on asked several people that we've interviewed, like various voice actors or people who go to the other conventions. Now, I've noticed something about a lot of people who go to these conventions. They're very outgoing and outspoken when they're here at the convention, but when they get out of the convention, they're very, very withdrawn and shy and such. Do you have any tips on how they can transfer that energy and outgoingness from the convention to their everyday life?
I think a tip I've never tried it myself, but it really does make sense, because I get a lot of people saying, I want to be a voice actor, but I am nervous, I'm jittery, I even hearing my own voice. I said, well, talk to yourself in front of a mirror, because eventually it's just going to get to where you are comfortable. And also record yourself. At first it's going to be weird, because the way you hear yourself on the recording is different than you hear yourself in your head. That's just the way your vocal cords are. But the way you sound on a recording is how the rest of the world hears you. So, record yourself saying anything. Read from your favorite comic book or manga. Read from the, quote a commercial. Read the back of a book or a magazine. Just read it aloud, no matter how stupid it sounds. And then read it again. And then play it back. Get used to your own voice. Play it for your friends. Play it for your family. Get it out there and get involved in different voice acting type projects. And there's a lot of amateur projects out there that need people, and I think it's good practice.
So it can translate to making people a little bit more outspoken outside of conventions.
I would think so. Yeah. And I think there are, speech classes that you can take, public speaking and radio announcing, and these are all different beasts. Obviously, the affectation of your voice and the delivery of a speech is different than acting. Or reading the news is a different play from doing a commercial. Doing an audiobook is different from an anime and so forth. So there's all these different beasts. I think it's fascinating, all the different ways that you can approach voice work and, sell an emotion through different means, or solely with your voice and not with physicality.
So, in order to become less introverted and stuff, you think people should talk to themselves?
Yes. Talk to myself all the time,
Long as they don't answer themselves? Or is it like, as long as they don't answer themselves and say, huh?
I think actors are a neurotic bunch. We're all insane, because we all want the spotlight and people to clap and laugh and all that stuff. And that's that weird vacuum that we're in voice acting. You go into a booth, and the only person telling you, yay, that's awesome, is your director, which is good, because that means, sweet,
it's I'll get better, to come back. Yay, that's awesome, then.
And it's like, this isn't working, sorry. But then we get to come to the conventions and then hear the real feedback. Now, we could go online, thank God for the internet, so we can get instant feedback on Twitter and whatnot, and people saying, oh,
people
I just bought this.
Oh, you ruined Kamen Rider.
A lot of that. I sadly got a lot of that. Aww. As soon as the first episode aired on Sci-Fi, the haters were hating. They said it wasn't manly enough sounding and whatnot, but I tried to respond and said, I'm sorry you don't like it. You have a right to that opinion. That's fine. But I did what I was told, because Aniplex America said Kamina needs to sound like a teenager. Don't make him sound like he does in Japanese. Because he sounds like very deep and very bassy and loud, obnoxious. So it said, no, even though the animation is very big and over the top, we're not going to shout all of his lines, because that'll just be perceived by a Western audience as obnoxious. We want to get away from that. So,
Because it lowers your dramatic ability at that point.
I think. And you don't want to make it one note. You don't want everything to be bah, 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 bah. It's like, how is the message going to get through if it's all bah, 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 bah. You just like, put some subtlety in it. You can sell emotion without volume. You can have intensity without volume. And that was a that was a common direction I would get from Tony Oliver on our thing. I would see the animation and Kamina would be moving his flap rah, 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 really big and everything, and I would do the line and then he'd go, oh, not shouty, intense but not shouty. And then we do it again. I'd pull down the volume and make it more intense. So instead of, yours is the drill that will pierce the heavens. And it's like, let's pull back the volume. Yours is the drill that will pierce the heavens. A little more conversation, a little more intimate. And that could just make it more real in the end.
Well, we got one last question or so on this. I think we'll just throw out the usual ones, like what video games are you playing right now?
All right. I haven't touched games in a long time, but I love first-person shooters. I love Call of Duty, Black Ops, and Halo, Left 4 Dead. I love fighting games. I love Soul Calibur, Street Fighter. I mostly play a lot of games on the iPhone. You know, I do a lot of traveling, so that's a lot of time to kill on a plane. So I mean, simple stuff like Bejeweled or Words with Friends or, trying to think. I don't know. I'm intrigued by the 3DS. I may pick one up, but not just yet because Street Fighter 4 is the only game that really,
not interested in Zelda next 2 weeks?
I don't know. I never really played Zelda before, believe it or not.
Huh.
I'm not a hardcore gamer. I'm more of a casual gamer. I mean, I know of Zelda. I know the legacy that it has and everything, but I never really got into it. So I don't know if that would be a must-have title for me personally. Who knows? But I got to go to E3. I didn't get to... the lines were too long.
Oh, did you?
I wanted to try out the Wii U.
Oh, you didn't get to?
Too long. I tried out Gears 3, though.
Did you try out the Vita?
Nope. Was too long.
Line too long?
I tried the Kinect Star Wars, though, and I was really disappointed. It was very laggy.
Oh.
And I have a Kinect, and I'm a fan of the Kinect, because it's nice not having to hold a controller. I don't think the Kinect will ever overtake an actual controller-based game. I prefer playing with a controller myself, but I appreciate what they're trying to do. It's perfect for a dance game or something if you want to get a little physical with it. It's great for workouts. Yeah. I'll be honest. You know, Dance Central, you get a good workout. Your Fitness, you get a great workout. Star Wars, at this point, I want to throw it out the window. Because it's just, no. You swing your arm like you're holding a lightsaber, and the character on screen, a second later, swings his arm. It's like, okay.
So I don't think that's going to be on the box. I want to throw it out the window.
Yeah, not Carl so Herbert. Much. I'm a big Star Wars fan. Not so much of the prequels, but whatever.
Yeah, we're all both going to still see it in 3D.
Yeah, I'm sheep. I admit it. I'll march right in. I'll check it out because, you know, I also want to go, since I live close to Disneyland, we're an hour away, I want to see the retooled Star Tours. Now that there's 50 different variations of that. You know, it's a flight simulator. It's basically watching a movie, but I think it's 3D and randomized, so it's going to all the different worlds and everything. And that would have been cool to be a voice actor on that. I know some people that were. I'm like, oh, sweet. Old Republic looks beautiful, but I'm a console gamer. And I did record voices on a Star Wars game, and at the time they didn't tell me what it was, so I'm hoping this is it.
And you're like, oh, I'm in Star Wars Kinect.
Oh. No, I don't think so. I wasn't a playable character, so I'm thinking maybe it's Old Republic.
So you were a killable character?
No. Okay. No, I didn't have to die. Oh. That was nice.
That's always a good thing. Yes. Well, we gotta wrap this up. So it's been nice talking to, say your name.
Kyle Hebert.
Kyle Hebert on Radio DMG. Thank you.
My pleasure, sir. My pleasure.
And that's how, and that's how the interview went down. Still not completely. Hopefully by the next episode, I will be my rip-roaring, not-sick self. So, look forward to that on the next episode of Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley. You've been listening to Radio DMG. And good night.
Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well...